Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we have a special edition of the podcast. We sit down with Tom Cantone, the president of sports and entertainment for Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment, who talks about how he turned the arena at Mohegan Sun into a television studio for the return to boxing, MMA, and basketball in a safe and secure manner during the pandemic. The GGB podcast is brought to you by IGT, where the new Peak Bar Top Poker Cabinet will put your bar over the top, built with an emphasis on player comfort and game variety. Learn more at IGT.com/peakbartop.
Much more than this, I did it my way.
Back in March, when the pandemic began, Tom Cantone remembers sitting in his darkened office in the Mohegan Sun Arena, grasping for ways to bring the jobs back that were currently on hiatus. One call to Viacom produced a residency for their MMA and boxing shows. That set the stage for Bubbleville, a plan to host four preseason basketball tournaments usually held at other locations. Cantone explains how each of these plans came about and how the procedures had to be designed from scratch. As some of the first sports to return during the pandemic, the arena became the only indoor arena offering sports events in the U.S. Cantone spoke with me from his home in Connecticut during a snowstorm in December.
Much more than this, I did it
Tom Cantone, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It's good to talk to you from across the country. You're snowed in Connecticut there, and we're enjoying the sunshine here in Vegas. So I'm sure I don't envy you.
Don't rub it in. I'd rather be out there with you right now. You know? Actually, last winter, we didn't get a flake here.
Yeah.
It was nothing. We missed every storm. That it was warmer, and, you know,
right.
It was really a great winter.
Yeah.
So we already are off to a start here. Yeah, I live on the water in Mystic area in Connecticut, beautiful little seaport community. So we tend not to get a lot of snow, but
sure.
Right now, you know, I'm digging out. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
but happy to talk to you any day of the week.
Great. Well, first of all, congratulations on the success of Bubbleville, which followed up on the success of the boxing and MMA matches that you did with Viacom Residency at Mohegan Sun over the summer. Where did the idea from those events come from?
Well, you know, when opportunity and luck get together, great things happen. And I was really sitting in my office one day, actually right when we closed down in March. And for the very first time, I'm walking around 8 million square feet of darkness.
Right.
And we are literally nobody there. It's a ghost town. At any minute, I thought I'd see Rod Sterling in the corner, you know, talking about the Twilight Zone. And sort of like, you know, out of necessity, you know, I was sitting in my office thinking, how can we bring our team back? And my team, who runs, you know, one of the top venues in the world, we're all on furlough, as everyone was at Mohegan Sun and across the country.
Sure.
And so my first thought was, how can I bring them back to work? And I had this thought, an idea of turning the arena into a bubble broadcast center with no fans, just to produce live content for television. And so I made one phone call, Roger.
Yeah.
One phone call that, you know, created, you know, the door that was open to our friends at Viacom, who have Showtime Boxing and Bellator MMA, and they're friends of ours. And actually, the last event I did before we closed was a Bellator event.
Okay.
So it was maybe subconsciously on my mind, I don't know. And I didn't know if they would be interested. I didn't know if they wanted to do something without no fans. That was not even a thought back then in the sports world. How can
right.
you even do anything with no fans? I mean, it was really, when you think about it, it was just a very long shot of an idea. And it gained momentum over the course of time. And they started to think, you know, that it could be done. We have serious and much, you know, much work to do with hurdles from the COVID side, from the health side, from the testing side, from everything you could think of to prevent, you know, the idea from moving forward. Because we were going down a road that was never been down before. There was no playbook on procedures. There was no protocol procedures. Everyone was fearful, and it was the unknown. So I was going down an area that, you know, we didn't have, you know, any previous experience in. So we sort of, as we went along, figured it out.
Right.
And I credit Mohegan Sun management team who got, you know, got down to business and created this protocol guidebook that was blessed and coordinated with all the health people and our health department and the state. And we figured it all out and created quite a blueprint to open safely when we're ready to open. And, you know, to have a document that was blessed by everybody. And so when we put that in play, Viacom had their own task force, COVID task force, and they had their own protocols too. So we got together. It all made sense. It all worked. And there were always problems and last-minute things and hurdles to go over. But out of necessity and out of love for my team, because I felt bad that everyone was home and not working and many struggling, and I was trying to figure out a way. And
sure.
I got, you know, I was blessed with this idea that magically turned into reality.
Right.
So it worked. And I'll never forget on July 24th when, you know, I think our first event was Bellator.
Right.
And they did the countdown, and I had my team back. Everybody was there. Everyone's been working to get this thing done in a bubble format. And the bubble was very important. You cannot break that bubble. I mean, everybody, the protocols, you know, were very strict. But when they counted down to going live, and then live from Mohegan Sun Arena, boom, and there it was.
Yeah.
On all the screens across the country. It was an emotional moment for me because I remember it's instantly just sitting in my office in a dark place thinking, you know, how could this even happen? And all of a sudden, you know, I opened my eyes and there it was, the color, the sound, the noise, the excitement. My team was high-fiving each other. It was a welcome home type of an experience. I compare it to, you know, in Cape Canaveral when, you know, they're all there in the, you know, watching the liftoff of the space, and it worked.
Right, yeah.
Clapping, mm-hmm. You know.
So, sure.
You know, that's the feeling that we all have.
Yeah, no question. So your staff must have been excited to get back to work.
It was a reunion. Everyone, when they saw each other, you know, I know we couldn't hug and all of that.
Right.
But there was a lot of hugging going on.
Yeah.
There was a lot of happiness. Everyone was, you know, so happy to be doing what they do best and better than anybody else. It's what makes the arena and Mohegan Sun special is our team.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just the arena. It's the entire property. Everybody knows their job.
Right.
They know their job, and they do it better than anybody. And it's the reason why we get so many national tours that actually want to start at Mohegan Sun because of that team. The crew is the best. They're talented, skilled position players, but more importantly, they're family. And so I've been told many times when big tours see that we're on the route,
right,
they circle Mohegan Sun Arena because they can't wait to get here. They know that they're going to relax. They're going to have a good time. Everything's going to be done right. And for tours that want to start here, you know, because with social media and everything, opening night, that first impression, you know, push a button and it could be good or bad. And it's millions of bucks behind these tours. So, you know, they're not going to start in some place that, you know, is not professionally ready and capable. And, you know, so we get, man, I think we've done about 25 to 26 national tours that have started our places. And Bon Jovi will only rehearse here, you know, because of my crew. So, yeah, everybody was happy to be back. Is it a complete fix? No. But it's the best we can do right now in the conditions we're in. And when Viacom sent a lot of their executives in, and a lot of their presidents. And when one of the presidents said to me, you know, in the early going, you know, you're the only venue in America open right now.
Right. Yeah.
Producing live events.
Sure.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, how special is that?
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the middle, in the height of the worst pandemic in a century, to be the only venue that has some excitement going on, really is a happy time. It was a moment, historic moment, I think, for all of us.
Right. Great. So, you know, the Viacom matches certainly were successful. How did Bubbleville come about? Did you go to the NCAA or was it the other way around?
So what happened was when we first started to broadcast all over the country, and then it was picked up, you know, globally because of the many platforms now that Viacom uses.
Sure.
Paramount Television, Showtime Network, the streaming services,
right,
a bunch of other things, that the YouTube and everything and all the apps. It was noticed by everybody. And we did a pay-per-view boxing event with five world-class titles in one night. And that was never been done before in the history of boxing, and so that was a huge pay-per-view deal that went global. And I think that was, you know, building to this bubble that we've been creating for sports. And then at the same time, you know, the NBA and a lot of other professional sports were figuring out where to go. They went to Florida or Orlando or whatever, and WNBA as well. And so it became, you know, a little bit more in the front page of everybody, you know, that this thing could be done and done well. And our relationship with the Basketball Hall of Fame, I think, played a big part. Dave Martinelli, our chief marketing officer, really orchestrated the interest that the basketball leagues had, the colleges, the NCAA. So we combined like not one, two, or three, but four tournaments, and something like 360 some basketball players, you know, converged on our venue. And you combine that with, I think we did 200, over 200 and some, but ended up like 635 or 45 athletes from all over the country,
right,
with this bubble, you know, have been competing at Mohegan Sun Arena since we started the bubble. So Bubbleville was created for basketball as an offshoot of, you know, what we started with the Viacom residency, and the residency is continuing. Basketball is over. It was a 4-week tournament with all the leagues, I mean, all the schools competing.
Sure.
And we got plans for Viacom to continue on early part of next year and into whenever, you know, this thing keeps going until we can go to full capacity fans.
Right, right. Great, great. So, you know, there was no protocol for these kind of things. And you mentioned how the management team at Mohegan Sun came together to develop that. But how did you develop that? Did you consult, you know, doctors and things of that nature and scientists?
Our health department led the charge.
Uh-huh.
And with the state, aligned ourselves with all of the protocols that the governor was mandating and guiding. And so there was a guide to follow there. So we would align ourselves so we weren't doing anything that was not appropriate and following the rules. So we had a lot of people in play from the government side, Mohegan Tribal Council. So it was a collaboration of a lot of talent, a lot of people. But I tip my hat to the Mohegan Sun management team with Jeff Hamilton and leading the charge, Ray Pinot, and those guys really got together. And when we did so many Zoom calls because, you know, we were closed for a while.
Right.
So everything was done through Zoom meetings. And sometimes we would meet as well in person to figure out the playbook and the technology and all the things that we had to put together with the plexiglass and, and just cleanliness and the cleaning of the hotel rooms. In other words, when people come into the hotel, when our athletes came into the hotel, they just didn't check in and check out. We had to quarantine those rooms. We had to keep them offline so that we had 24 to 48 hours if there was a situation to clean it and make it good. Everyone was tested every day, every time they came into the bubble. The testing took days and days. So the protocols there, we had our doctors in play that, you know, were very critical to getting the testing done. One of the problems at the last minute, I had the whole deal done with Viacom. Everything was finished. And at the last minute, we had a mini crisis, and that involved testing.
Right.
And, you know, and how many could we get done, and who had to be tested? We thought we had that figured out, but there was a situation where, you know, they wanted more testing done. So because of relationships, here we go, relationships matter in everything we do. I have a great relationship with one of the doctors who cleared the path for us to get additional testing done in Connecticut. And with the healthcare people that controlled all of that. And so he parted the sea for me so that I could get the testing done for more people. And so everything was clean. I've been tested like 8 or 9 times.
Right.
And, you know, it's standard operating procedure now. I'm in my own bubble. I stay within the venue, and my team, we're tested all the time. And I think we've tested like 4,500 people, and we've had some positives. And when the positive happened, not a lot.
Right.
Like I don't even know what the number is, but it's very few, like 0.4% or something, not even. But when someone tests positive, it doesn't mean they're sick. It doesn't mean they got the virus. It means that they're positive for COVID. Then the protocol kicks in where they are, you know, quarantined and they're removed. So, and then we do contact tracing now.
Right.
And so anyone within that person's, you know, contact area also are tested and quarantined. So there's a domino effect. It's a little frustrating and complicated and time-consuming. But if you want to produce live events for the nation to see, you know, I got calls from people all over the country saying, hey, I'm watching Mohegan Sun Arena. It looks great.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, I'm watching this great boxing event at Mohegan Sun Arena. It looks great, you know. And you don't even know there's no fans because the way it was produced by Showtime and Bellator, it was really well done.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, everything was thought of that could have been. We saw problems that came our way. We solved them.
Uh-huh.
The energy and the dedication of these people, in a time, Roger, when panic was our steady diet. You couldn't run from it, from TV, you know, from the newspapers, from the media. You know, you would have thought, you know, it was World War III where everyone was dying.
Right.
But, you know, we produce fun. Our product is fun. That's what we do. We make memories for life. And, you know, the virus wasn't going to kill that. And so we found a way to still provide entertainment. And actually, it worked to our advantage because no one could travel. So everyone was home. And so the ratings for everything that we've been broadcasting out of the bubble have been incredible. I mean, double digits what they normally get.
Right.
So, I mean, unfortunately, you know, I'm not celebrating the fact that people can't go anywhere. But at the same time, if you're going to be stuck at home, you might as well see a Mohegan Sun Arena branded event.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll take it for now.
So was the casino open during the basketball tournament?
Oh yeah. So yeah, when we opened, I don't remember now, sometime in June I think it was.
Right.
We opened to limited, you know, capacity.
Right.
And all the protocols were in place there with the social distancing and the signage everywhere and the plexiglass, and you could play it at the tables.
Right.
You know, you used the deal. So how would you like the deal today to
someone
behind the screen?
Right, with the mask on 24 hours a day. Yeah.
And the mask and all that. Yeah. And I think now, sort of, you know, it's almost like part of your dress code. I mean, everybody, I mean, there's not, in the beginning, I think there was some pushback, you know, I didn't want to wear a mask or, you know, whatever, but I think everyone adjusted. And I always say, whoever adapts wins, you know, and we adapted pretty well.
Right.
And I think Mohegan Sun, you know, became a winner on this one.
Right. So how did you isolate the players and the staff from the teams from the casino? Were they allowed into the casino, or did they have to stay away from everybody else?
Lockdown. They had to stay in their room. Food was delivered. You know, they were not allowed to go out and about. That's the bubble.
Right.
That's where the bubble part came into. So whoever created the name, well, we went with it.
And, right.
You know, it was a bubble to the finite degree, and anyone who penetrated the bubble, you know, they had to be dealt with. But it was and still is, you know, security, very important part. You know, if you see our venue and how it's locked down and how we operate, you'll know right away that everyone is totally confident in coming here. They don't want to go anywhere else.
Right, sure.
All the teams, all the basketball teams that came here, many have never been here before.
Sure.
We're over the top impressed. ESPN, all the producers for ESPN who were here, this was new for them too, because ESPN became the television network that did all the basketball for Bubbleville.
Uh-huh.
And they actually came to my office and framed a thank you letter to me to give on behalf of everyone who worked it and in person.
Huh.
And the letter basically was just an overwhelming thank you to Mohegan Sun and the team and the crew and everyone and certain individuals in particular in the security area and our team who lived it every day, and Dave Martinelli, who, you know, on the marketing side, who was there every day, and, you know, to make sure that these teams were good. And even like the, I think the team from Army was there and got to know our staff, and somebody had a birthday on my crew, and they put him in the middle of the basketball court and circled him and saying happy birthday to him.
Wow.
And I mean, it became a family right away.
Sure, right.
And that's what we do. And that's who we are. We're a family first and foremost. It's part of our culture and our core values. It does separate us from everywhere else. And I've been to many different places. And I've worked, as you know, at other places.
Right.
And
yep.
There's a different culture here, Roger.
Yeah.
And it's noticed the minute you arrive.
Sure.
It's like Disney. It's like Disney.
Sure.
Disney's different than everywhere else.
Well,
you know,
we're
like that.
Just as an outsider, whenever I come up there, I notice the difference between, you know, a regular casino and Mohegan Sun, and even in the different jurisdictions you're in. You know, when I go to the one in Washington State or resorts in Atlantic City, I mean, there seems to be a cohesiveness there as well that extends from the Connecticut headquarters.
It's part of who we are.
Right.
And that's what part of our selling point, you know, and it's what people love about us. You know, when we win these licenses everywhere in Greece and in Korea and Vegas. And by the way, we're coming to Vegas. You know?
Right. Yeah. And I got a question about that in a minute here. But that's good. I mean, the Vegas thing is going to be exciting, but I hope you can establish that kind of camaraderie and loyalty to that hotel as you do to all your others.
Well, we will. You know, we will. Otherwise, you know, that's our reputation, and I think that's part and parcel why, you know, we win the licenses. You know, here's a gaming company from Uncasville, Connecticut. We're not in a major market, you know, we're not in a big New York City downtown, you know, skyscraper. We're in a place where, you know, you really have to be good to be noticed. And everywhere we've gone, we've been better than good. I mean, and I think the mothership here in Connecticut has really set the tone for branching out to become a global entertainment company now. Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment, MGE, you know, headed by Mario, who is our president, is just incredibly dedicated to making sure that you're just not getting a gaming company. You're getting, you know, the heart and soul of people, you know, who do get it. They really do get it. It's not something that, you know, people have, you know, they call these missions, you know, what is our mission? What is our goal and all that? And they put it up on the shelf and they never read it. We are reminded every day on how to be part of that special culture. And it comes from the tribe.
Right.
I mean, you know, it comes from the tribe. It's years and years, centuries, and I mean, hundreds of years of a family, basically. And it's a family business. So we know, you know, the importance of that. And it does work, but it all has to do with relationships. And, you know, over the years, we've been blessed with what I call friends for life. You're one of them. And, you know, you get it. People that get us and know want to be with us and all. And you know, it matters because that's what separates us from all the rest. So, you know, I'm just happy to be along for the ride.
Yeah, sure.
Part of the team.
Yeah.
You know, and we've done some really fun things, and we'll continue to do it.
Right. Great. So let's talk about the return of entertainment and sports once the pandemic eases and the vaccine becomes widely available. How do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I'm fully loaded. I'm programmed and ready to roll.
Yeah.
I've moved, well, again, back in March when, you know, I was sitting in a dark place in my office. I wasn't twiddling my thumbs, as you can imagine. And my team was gone. I literally had to move hundreds of shows at all of our properties nationwide. And, you know, it was chaos, total chaos. Nobody knew what was going on, who was canceling, who was postponing, where they were going to land. It was a mess. And not just my problem, it was everybody's problems. You know, we were all in the same boat. And so my job was to try and save them as much as I could, because we had some blockbuster names. So what we've done is we basically shifted hundreds and hundreds of shows into other time spots, mm-hmm. and other time zones. 21, and even into 22. And other than just the handful that outright canceled, most stayed in play. So if we get back to normal, let's say by summer, I'm fully loaded and programmed.
Yeah.
I got a full summer schedule at Mohegan Sun Arena.
Sure.
And at all of our properties. So we've slid them into spots that, you know, are ready to go. It's just a matter of pushing the button. I have in Connecticut, about 85% of our concert tickets, people are still holding on to their tickets. So, you know, I think Live Nation just came out with something similar to that. They're in the 80s as well.
Right.
So people, to answer your question, people are holding on to their tickets.
Yeah.
You know, they're chomping at the bit to see the show that they wanted to go to in the first place and now have to wait like everybody else. But no, hardly. I mean, the majority didn't want a refund. They
right.
wanted to,
huh,
to
that's
keep,
amazing.
Keep holding their tickets. So I think, you know, with the vaccine and if the news becomes, I think this vaccine and if everything goes well, will expedite the timetable.
Right.
To sooner than later as opposed to waiting.
Right.
Until later.
Right. So do you think it's going to be different in each of the jurisdictions where you guys have properties in terms of reopening entertainment?
Well, that's a good question, because every area, as you know, is different with hot spots here, cold
right.
spots here. There's
sure.
certain parts of the country that are normal and not as many, but there's other parts who are, you know, have a higher positivity rate
right.
others than not. So it will have to be, you know, based on what the region is experiencing. So we could be doing really well in Connecticut, but down in Louisiana, you know, it's not as good. So
right.
we'll have to, you know, adjust the game plan accordingly. But let's just hope that there is a nationwide get well card out there.
Right, right.
And that everybody everybody is not in fear.
Mm-hmm.
That they're living to have fun again. And I know everyone has said this, and that everybody's going to be just chomping at the bit and coming out in droves. I'm not too sure about that.
Right.
But I am sure that people will return to normal, not the new normal. Normal,
right?
The way it was,
yeah.
I do from what I told you earlier, that the fact that people are holding on to their tickets,
right.
The Peak Bartop Cabinet from IGT features a 23-inch constant curved LCD display and a robust variety of proven games. Based on extensive feedback from customers and players, IGT designed a more comfortable machine to meet the needs of all players. With a curved screen that reduces glare, a more ergonomic button deck, and appealing best-in-class games, the Peak Bartop has everything players want for the ultimate entertainment experience. Learn more at igt.com/peakbartop. And now back to our podcast.
So, how do you work with each of the individual properties? Do you coordinate the entertainment buys with the marketing directors at those properties, or how does that work?
Yeah, what we do is we my team meets with the marketing heads at all the properties, we have weekly calls. We make the offers. We have to. Every property is a little bit different, so they
sure.
have their different needs and different size venues.
Right.
So we have everything basically. We have a 10,000 seat arena down to 1,200 seats.
Right. Right.
So and then now with Canada online, we're ready to open a 5,000 seat state of the art theater.
Wow.
It's spectacular, and it's going to be a game changer. In the Niagara Falls area, a game changer with Falls View.
Yeah.
And it's done. We just can't open it.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's ready to go.
Yeah.
So we meet with them and we have calls all the time. And the GMs as well, so they align themselves with their strategy. Every property has a different marketing strategy. So,
right.
But at the same time, we want to be universal with, how we make our buys. So I just did a 3-property deal just last week.
Uh-huh.
So, we're technically, not like we were, but you wouldn't know it.
Right.
I mean, we're reeling and dealing every day, and it was fun to put a 3-property deal together and hold dates and make the offers and, keep things, almost, normal.
Sure.
And so things are moving. It's just not, we're not in drive yet. We're in first gear.
Right, right. Exactly. So, you mentioned the Virgin Casino in Vegas that Mohegan Sun is managing. They had a great venue when it was the Hard Rock, the joint at the Hard Rock, a really nice room. Are you planning some special things for that?
Well, we're not on the entertainment side. We're just running the casino.
Okay, you're just running the casino. Okay, got it.
Yeah, Mohegan Sun is running the casino part. A lot of activity, a lot of work into redoing that. They're redoing the whole property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The venue there is going to be, I think an AEG venue.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But I think if we want to get involved, we can. If we want to bring things in, we can.
Sure.
So, and we'll have to align ourselves with them and make suggestions. And there's some things have already come my way.
Yeah.
And I've already reached out to coordinate if that's a possibility and help them out if I can. And if it makes sense, we'll do it. But right now, we're with Vegas in the same boat as everybody else.
Sure.
I think, we slid the opening to sometime later in the year.
Great.
But still, fairly close to the first quarter.
Right, right. Okay. So, at the flagship property in Connecticut, you've got some great venues. You've got the arena there, and you recently just got some awards there. Explain what kind of awards you got there.
Well, we won. Somebody said we're the most awarded arena in the nation, and we looked at that, and we've got something like 18 national awards.
Yeah.
And we have a hall. We have a hall of awards. I don't know if you saw it.
I did. There. You showed me that in the back of the house there. Yeah.
So we've been, you know, lucky and fortunate again. You know, only because of our team that, you know, people come and love us and spread the word. And when they do these national votes, you know, we must be doing something right, because we're always nominated, and we always, you know, have, you know, something proud to talk about. And so, yeah, we continue to be Arena of the Year. We just won another one. And so, you know, we're hoping that, you know, we just keep building on our reputation. I do have to say, you know, from what on the corporate side of Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment, you know, that our entertainment reputation and some of the things we've been doing have really been a differentiator for when we go into other markets. They do know us and know of us because of the big names that we associate ourselves with and
sure.
what the venue has done. It's almost like, you know, everybody knows Madison Square Garden. Well, we're not that, but we're well known.
Right.
And I think us being, you know, like this year, this just came out in Polestar and Venues Now, that for the year end, I know it was only the first quarter until everything shut down, but everything was apples to apples. We were on pace again to have another record year in the arena in Connecticut. And we finished number 2 in the United States and number 3 in the world for our size.
Yeah.
But then for all size venues, Roger, for all size venues, most of them are bigger than us. You know, Madison Square Gardens and Radio City,
right, sure.
and some of the others, and the O in London, and, you know, all around the world. We finished in the top 15 in the U.S. and the top 25 in the world, 13th in the U.S. I think 14th or so in the globe. So globally, so, you know, it's really a remarkable story. To be, you know, finished along in the big leagues like that with year after year after year. And then we were named in the top arenas of the decade. And that's even more of an accomplishment for our team, because, you know, in the last 10 years, we, you know, were amongst the top in the world.
Yeah.
So it's I think that's been part of our reputation. That's why we put entertainment in our name now.
Right.
Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment. And entertainment doesn't always mean shows, but it does mean people having fun. It could be in restaurants. It could be, you know, in our nightclubs. And it could be all the things that we do, you know, that people are having fun. But our entertainment personality and who we are, it's a powerhouse name now.
Right, sure.
And it's a program that gets recognized all over. And when people talk about it and they reward us and mention us, you know, it's quite an honor.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Tom, it's great to talk to you. You know, when your book came out a couple of years ago, I read it, and it seems like you've done enough in those last couple of years. You should write another book. So please consider doing that, because that was such an enjoyable read, and I'd love to get more into what you've done over the last few years.
Well, here's the thing on that. So it was updated to a paperback.
Okay,
I'll
right.
make sure you get it.
Okay.
So between when you got it till now, I added so many fun stories in there that have happened over the course of time. And actually, the residency made it in. So the book was just now completed.
Oh, great.
And, with the internet, it found a home. I never wrote it to sell because, you know, I'm no famous person. But at the same time, people, you know, found it and liked it and, you know, I had to go to a reprint. And then when I decided to do it, I did it and I added some things. So I think you'll find it even more fun. I always say read it at night. It'll help you sleep.
Right. No, it's definitely a great read. You know, going back through the things you did when you brought Eddie Murphy to Atlantic City and nobody thought it would work, and you created a whole new entertainment genre for the casino business. So, Tom, it's great to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully next summer.
Thanks, Roger. And we will be, you know, in the driver's seat very soon. And I look forward to the normal of the old days.
Perfect.
And then we'll be ready to rock and roll.
Sounds good. Thank you.
What has he got? If not himself, then he has not.
Raise the bar with Peak Bar Top Poker Cabinets from IGT, built with an emphasis on player comfort and game variety. Learn more at IGT.com/peakbartop. To learn more about how sports and entertainment will return to gaming during the recovery, visit GGBmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGBnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.
He truly feels and love the words of what O'Neill's. The record shows I took the blow.